Dasania. First time I'm here, and I want to congratulate the organizers on this splendid idea of start the day the Torah way. The point that I'm going to try and make this morning is this. Sometimes you may be sitting at a shiur, and in the back of the hall, a voice pipes up and says, "Rabbi, is this fair?" When you hear Dvar Lucha, and the Rabbi will normally, I think, have a sort of benign smile and say, "Well, Balbatish Kasha." Man obviously doesn't know too much about learning. And the point of my share this morning is that the question, Rabbi, is this fair, is not a Balbatish Kasha, but it's basically a Lomdish Kasha. It's not possible that an aloha that you come across in the Gemara should be unfair. We have a principle of Darkeya Darke Noyam, and that is applied in the Gemara, as many of you will know, in Sukkah, for example, to the question of Kapas Temurim. So it says Kapas Temurim, which is a lulav to us, and the Gemara says, well, it's clear, the word itself doesn't explain it, but it's clear that this is the palm not at its early stage, when it's prickly and it would hurt your hands to hold it. It must be the palm tree at a later stage when it won't hurt your hands. Because Darkeo Darkenoyam, the Torah wouldn't want you to do something which is going to prick your fingers. So you can imagine if that's Shark in Darkeo Darkenoyam, and the Torah doesn't want you to, as they say in Yiddish, to stach your hands, they certainly don't want, the Torah must be understood in such a way they won't stach another human being. It's totally impossible for the Torah to be unfair. Hence the question, remember, is it fair, is basically a longish question. There's something you haven't understood or the Rebbe hasn't explained. So it's important in Pshat to realize, to understand Pshat in the Gemara, it's important to realize that the Gemara has to be fair. Apart from that, the concentration on the fairness of Gemara will have an effect of Torah learning will have an effect on Midas, and which is the Nitna Torah El Tzarev, the Mitzvahs El Tzarev Sabriyas. That is, of course, the point of Torah. And what I want to show is that this is not only true where Nagadik Haguda talks about Midas, but actually in Aluha itself. Because in daily life itself there's this importance of moral and ethical behavior. Now there is a Chazon Ish which may easily be misunderstood, and I find this often misunderstood, where he says Choyves ha-musuris heim lepo'umem guf echot em piska halucha v'halucha hi ha-machras es ha-isov es ha-muto shel toiras ha-muso. This is Chazon Ish in Emuna u-Betuchen, beginning opening of Per Gimel. And he tells a story of new Melamdim coming into a little town, and the new melamdim draw away the pupils from the existing melamdim who've been in town forever, and destroy their panusa. And of course, people are outraged, and there is a fight in the town. He says, normally you would say the justice is with the people who've been established melamdim and their panusa, one shouldn't interfere with it. And that seems to be the right thing to do at first sight. But if you know what the halacha says, kina sofren tava chochma, that there is any more of a basra, that there is no such thing as interfering with parnusa when it comes to education, so you see that the halacha has to be machia, has to decide what is your correct conduct. Now people, I have heard, misunderstand this Chazon Ish, and they think that the Chazon Ish is saying that when it comes when there can be a conflict between halacha and ethics, and then halacha has to rule. But that's not what the Chazon Ish is saying, the Fiyadi Astati. Chazon Ish says that there can be conflicting moral values. There can be, there are in this instance, for example, two moral values. One moral value is don't interfere with somebody's panosa. Another moral value is give your children the best possible Jewish education. Now, so what the Chazon Ish is saying is that sometimes you get conflict in moral values, and then the halacha will tell you what is the Torah view in this as to which value you have got to give preference. That, I think, is the correct understanding of the Chazon Ish. Now, in fact, ethical values and moral values can in fact create halacha. There's a very well-known Gemara which says that a man came to Rova and asked the following question. Moradura, the master of the town, has told me that I'm to kill Shimon, and if not, I am going to be killed. What shall I do? And Rova said to him, you've got to give up your life rather than kill Shimon. And the Moor says, Svurahi. That is not based on anything which you have as a halacha by tradition, but it's a Svura. And the Svura is, which simply means that you've got no right to prefer to assume that your life is worth more than another. In other words, all life has to be treated as of equal value. Now this moral value, now what I also want you to note is that Svura is normally translated as logic. Now this is really nothing to do with logic. This isn't a logical value. It's perfectly logical to say, well, one life has to be lost, I'm entitled to save my life rather than the other person's life. Now that makes very good sense. So it's not a logical matter which has decided that, but it's a matter of ethical behavior, of moral behavior, which says that you must treat all life equally. Now, if you say, though, again, in my opinion, and I've heard it said, wrong shot in Rashi, you'll come to a different conclusion. Now, on this, I'll read you the Rashi. My chuzus de dumme de doch simic tvei. Who says that your blood is better? Says Rashi. Kloima, what do you mean to say? Klim bose lishel al kach. Are you not asking? Elim shati yodea she emitsus obdus nefne bikuach nefesh. You know that bikuach nefesh, there's a din of chayvahem, therefore, the mitzvahs don't stand in the way. In other words, silsa doesn't stand in the way of bikuach nefesh. That's why you're asking me. So he says, Ein zeh rashi, Ein zeh doimel sharveres. This is not like other wares. Why? The Mekal Mukam yesh kan ibet nefesh. Because in any case, one person is going to be destroyed. The Torah only allows you to be doicha mitzvahs because of the love of Jewish life. We can't have a narcissist. Here, Navera is going to be done anyway, i.e., you're going to kill. The name is Shavuda, and a person's life is going to be lost. Now, people treat this, I've heard them treat this Rashi as though this is not a matter of ethics, it's a matter of logic, a matter of mathematics. You're going to, it's better to have, in other words, it's better to have, one life is going to be lost anyway, right? So one life is going to be lost. If you lose your life, it'll be a life lost. If you kill the other person, it'll be a life lost plus the tzicha. So one life lost without the tzicha must be better than a life lost with the tzicha. Now that would be logic, it would be mathematics. The only thing is, if you say chat like this in Rashi, then Rashi is mechulik on the Gemara. And Rashi says a perish of the Gemara, not to be mechulik on the Gemara. The Gemara says, and it all depends on that all lives are equal. So the correct shot in Rashi is obviously different. And what's more, if Rashi meant to say what people think he says, he wouldn't have to add the words Ni Yemish Nashi Habiba Lifne Amukam. The pshat is different. Pshat is in Rashi, that Rashi's got a problem. There is one way, or Rashi explains the problem. And says there's one way of learning, of looking at this. There is a mitzvah b'chayu chichu imoch. There is a mitzvah b'chayu bohem. That you go to life is more important than right. Now you could look at it this way and say there is a now question. Am I allowed to kill? Yes, b'chayu bohem. The mitzvah, the isav l'tzicha is gone. That's one way you could start looking at it. If you come to that, you come to the opposite conclusion. So Rashi is saying that pshat is you can't work like that because it's not a svura that the chayvahem entitles you to look at your life first. You've got to look at life generally because all men are equal. So the basis of this halacha is an ethical one and not a purely logical one. There are instances when you look at halacha and it appears to produce an unethical result. And there the question you have to ask again is, Rebbe, is this fair in order to understand the halacha properly? Let me just deal with two examples of this. As the Gemara in Gittin, Yuchel Uda Loima Le'evet, Asei Imi Ve'ene Zoynach. Now, I've learned this Gemara with the Chavrusa in Yeshiva Tzfan, and I asked a number of my Chaverim, did you notice what words you've just said? It's startling in a way, this Mama. You can say, I say we've got to work, but I'm not going to give you any food. Where's the fairness? And it's interesting that people learn this as a piece of blondness, but they don't stop for a minute to think what they're actually saying. Because it's an extraordinary Mama Chazal. Now, main point I want to make is that you should ask the question. Then you have to think what the answer is. If you look at the halacha, it's very interesting. The Gemara says, "Yom Loima Le'Eved Aseh Imi Be'Enin Zoynach," and discusses the relationship, the power between the barless of the man towards his Eved. It doesn't. There is, but the actual halacha in practice works out totally different. Because you've got duties as a Jew, and certainly a duty to the man that lives in your house. And you see, in the actual halacha, the question there anymore is not a question of your behavior to your neighbor. The question is, the question the Gemara there is: is it a zechus for an neighbor to be employed, or is it not a zechus? That's the question. And can you therefore give a get shechor to somebody on behalf of the Eved because Zohan Ulam Shalai Befunah? That's the question here. It's purely a question in, as you might say, in civil law. But in religious law, there are all sorts of conditions. Number first, the Rambam says you have to give him an opportunity to provide a way of living. Secondly, it doesn't apply in the Shnas Petzoros, here when there's a famine, and there is no way he could be fed otherwise. And thirdly, I read you what the Rambam says. And it's very important. The Rambam says, and the Rambam doesn't usually go into non-halachic language. After the next halacha, after he passed his yuchlav loymala abdi, I say imi ve'eine zunach, that is in Hilchot Avudim Perites Mishneh Zayin, he says, Mishneh says halacha ches. Va'ava pisha din kach. Now, you don't find that very often in the Rambam, but you can see that the Rambam asks the question. It's the most unusual Rambam. I read it to you. V'ava b'yishadin kach midas chasidus v'darke chokhme shi'udam rachmon v'roidav tzedek v'lo yachbit uloy al avdoy V'yachelenu v'yashkeu mikol machel mikol mishta. Every bit of food he eats himself, he should give also to his Eved, etc. Chachumem rishoy v'moyen nois in the Eved mikol tavshel v'tavshel shoy ochlen. U'mavdim emuzen abeheme v'avudem. Now, notice what the Rambam is saying. First of all, he says, he does use the word here, midas chasidus, because perhaps to give, share every morsel of bread that you eat and every dish that you have with your Eved may be midas chasidus. But obviously there's an obligation, because look at what the Rambam says. He says, look, the Chachomim Rishoyim of God's Eved, because Tavshim 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 Tavshim. There's no question to be Magdim Musa the Behemah. It's a Halukas, it's not Midas Chasidus. So, there's a difference here between civil law. In civil law, you can say that to your Eved, therefore, it's not a Schuss to be an Eved. But in religious law, it's clear what you... Now, let me give you another example. There is a very well-known Gemara in Shubha's Daf Mem Amud Beis which says the father can be boy a Musa Lol and never a Mikashchim. A father can give his daughter to a Menivel, nasty person, low life, or make a shrink. Right? Now, you'd be worried about the ethical point. I mean, that's what a father can do. Here again, we're concerned with the principle of civil law. The more is there concerned to whom does damages belong does it belong to the father or to the daughter? We're talking about the daughter as a katana. To whom does it belong in the, if she is put to shame? Moises it is there. I think so. Maybe I've made a note of it. I think that's what we talk about. Yes, Moises of a gum. Who does the man belong to? So that's a matter of civil law. Now let's see what the halacha is. The master, I mean the more in condition of mem aleph. Also the udo, it says ishmakadis is bitter kishinara. So the gemara kishinara and kishukatana loy. Araya usa leudam sheyekadesh es bitos kishehi ketana. Usa is not allowed. Ad shetigadel betoimo beploili ani roitza. Machlokes. No, remember the shoyle machloilem. Whether tigadel means that this is mamish gedoyle or means that she's old enough. It's an issa. An issa. Says the Gemara, to be Makati, to give a bitter katana except to her, and then she's old enough to know that's the man I want. It's an Issa. Right? So what you see here is that it's impossible. Now, you may say, of course, that's an important point, that this Issa is the Choyra. A derabunan, not this a deraisa, which probably is, and the hatter is a hatter deraisa. So you might say that, but it's important to realize, and I think that's another important point to realize, that. The difference between a deraisa and a derabonon, but I'm not going to deal with that this morning. Might have to read my book to see more about it. But it could have a number of quotations. It's not my chiddush. I mean, it's a shlua kodesh. It's a maral. That the difference between the Raisa and the Rabbonan is a matter of degree. It's not a vast difference. The Rabbonan, in that sense, express Rutzen Hashem. And there are different degrees in expressing Rutzen Hashem. This walking out is not in protest, what I'm saying. The gentleman said he has to go somewhere. Now, it's a matter of degree. There's a thing of Hadibras, there's Tayyab Mitzvahs, there's Mitzvahs Teraisa, there are Luch Lemosh in the Sinai, there is Swora, there are different degrees in Mitzvahs. But Mitzvah Rabbonon is basically, there's the Bruno Wasserman in Kavishurim as a mama on that. It's basically an expression of Rutzen Hashem. So that in itself is not a problem. And that also will answer to some extent another moral question, because you'll be a bit concerned that Gezel Akum, for example, is Mutter, right? Mit der Reister. Mit der Rabunan is Utzer. So what you see that it is not that you have degrees of mitzvahs, but they're all mitzvahs Hashem. It's all Devar Hashem, and the raya for that is that. So you see, there's a view that. That chinuch habonim is the rabbonon. I think it's the majority view. I think the interview is the raisa, but I think the majority view is that chinuch habonim is the rabbonon. Now, to try to understand that, you cannot assume for a moment that as far as the toilet is concerned, it's all right for a boy up to 13 to do every mina vela, be taught absolutely nothing, to be shown absolutely no Yiddishkeit, and at 13 he'll be a Nerech Hayid. I mean, you can't imagine that for one moment that is what the Torah wants. The pshat is, that makes it quite clear that the pshat is that it is always Ruutz Lashem, or this is Ruutz Lashem expressed in the Rabbanan. I think another 3 minutes. Yeah, perhaps I'll just touch on it. Another important issue that you might bear in mind in connection understanding that, because that's the whole purpose of what I'm trying to say, that the Torah is not just a set of rules. It's the principle is the Torah is given the son of a Sabrius, and the more conscious you are in learning, and the more conscious the Rebbe is in teaching Gemara of those things, draws attention to it, the better the product, in this case the Yeshiva Bucha, but it will be, because the more he'll be conscious that there are ethical reasons and ethical values which are all important in the Torah, and the more he goes through life knowing that, and it's more effective than in some ways than if you just learn Musa, or if you just learn the Aguda part of Shas where the Musa is stressed, but you actually see it in daily life, in the actual halucha which applies for daily behavior and for daily in conduct. If that is stressed, it has a great value. I'm tempted to just mention to you another point which has to be looked at, but there again, perhaps I ought to refer you to my book. On harumas, sometimes you get an impression, but that's a totally wrong impression, that what really matters is that you go through the formalities of halacha, and provided you do the formalities, you're all right. Well, it isn't as simple as that. Let me give you an example. One minute. What I just tried. Let me give you an example. Heta Iska. Now it's clear from the Levush, for example, and the Samsoifa, that Heta Iska is fine where it is a genuine business transaction. But if a poor man comes to you, which says in the Torah, and says, that's Levush, it's not my words, and you write and wants to borrow, he needs for Shabbos, and you take from him interest on it, he says, how can that be right? So, that's only one example, but it needs a total understanding of what goes on in these various harumas, which perhaps can be discussed another day. So in summary, I only want to say that is a principle which can be realized as you learn your daily Gemara Shia, and the question of whether is this fair ought not to be discouraged.